All right, I'm going to turn your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel this morning, if you would please. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 8. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 22. And when you get there, you will readily recognize, if you're any kind of a Bible student at all, that this is the same setting that I preached from on Wednesday night, with the exception that I preached from the Gospel of Mark and not Luke. And I want to preach from Luke this morning and look at the message in somewhat of a different light than what I preached on to you here on Wednesday evening. I want to begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Came a day when we entered into that boat and launched forth to the other side." Amen. And we're going to get there by the grace of God. Amen. "But as they sailed, he fell asleep." He was man as well as God. "And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the text itself and the thought that we received, and thank you, Lord, for reminding me of many, many years ago on that very subject from this pulpit I preached. I want to thank you for this morning and your people that are here and your watch care over us during the recent storms. Thank you, Lord, for watching over my brother and his family and others as well. And I do pray you'd bless the ones and help them in a wonderful way, especially those that have lost their families and friends and loved ones. Many have lost homes and possessions, some that can never be restored, recovered. I ask you to give them grace and divine help. Help us now in the morning hour here with your presence and your power. Convert sinners, Lord. Bless your people. Bless the sick. Those that are at home this morning sick, touch them. Grant me the power and the liberty and the unction I need this morning to preach and be a blessing to your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. The Bible said in verse number 23, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." Now, I want to preach out of this. I preached Wednesday night just on the thought of storms. And I want to take this passage of Scripture, if I may, this morning, and try to preach the best I know how on the thought of storms on purpose. In other words, storms that don't just happen by accident, but storms that have a purpose behind them. I was reminded again on Friday that storms are very destructive. And they can be very devastating. And in like manner, spiritual storms that we go through in our life, it may be various things, sickness or financial problems, or it may be family problems. But we do go through many trials of life and storms of life that affect us in many ways. And I was reminded of that once again this past week when the storms passed through the area, and especially over at the house, the hail balls falling and the wind blowing and so forth, and the electricity off. We're all losing of power. And I was reminded once again of just how unpredictable these storms can be that come about. And you know, I want to say again that storms, when they come in our life many times, they're unpredictable as well. We know they're there, but we have no way of looking into the future. The only thing we can do is trust God for the present time and trust God for the outcome, because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. When the hail and the rain and the wind started at our home on Friday, I knew what was going on then, but I had no idea what the outcome was going to be there at my home. And it is the same way with spiritual storms. They develop in our life. We know they're there. We know that we're in them. We know that we're going through them. We can feel the power of them. We can feel the presence of them. But we don't necessarily understand what the outcome of that storm is going to be. Well, I'm sure these disciples were in the same way. When they entered into that storm, they knew they were in a storm. The wind was blowing, the waves were raging, and the boat was full of water. But they had no earthly idea what the outcome was going to be. They felt like they were going to perish. That's why they called upon the Lord. But I believe this storm was there for a purpose, and a particular purpose. Now, I won't say this to you. There are those that believe, and I wouldn't disagree with them. I wouldn't argue with them about it. But there are those that believe that this storm was brought about by the power of Satan. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and that he is. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Satan can just bring up a storm and the Lord has no power over that storm. Right. You and I realize that the devil can only do what the Lord will allow him to do, although he is the prince of the power of the air. And there's those that believe that that great wind came down and the waves filled that ship, and it was the devil, it was Satan in an effort to sink that ship and, if even possible, destroy the Lord. And then, if it were even more possible, to prevent that demonic from Gadara from being converted by the grace of God. And I'll say this readily, that the devil will do everything in his power to prevent a sinner from being saved. But I don't think necessarily he always goes about it in this manner. The devil is crafty. The devil is very deceitful. He comes at a more subtle way in his work that he does, as he did in the life of Eve. I mean, he's a very subtle individual. And he doesn't normally come down all the time. He did some in Job's life, but not always, doesn't always work that way. But I believe that this storm that came down came with a purpose and a design. You know, if we look at this storm as a sovereign act of God with a divine purpose of revealing Jesus to his disciples as ruler both of heaven and earth, then we can clearly see how the Lord both tried and increase their faith at the same time. And by the way, I do believe that the Lord is the sovereign of this universe. He's the sovereign of both heaven and earth. And I'll tell you, the devils have to bow at his command. Don't think for one minute he doesn't have authority over Satan, over the devil with a capital D, and all them little devils with a little D also. He's got power over all them. And I personally believe that this storm came down upon them from the Lord with a purpose in mind. And I believe that purpose was not only to try their faith as they crossed that lake in that storm, but seeing the Lord stand and rebuke the wind and the waves, it also increased their faith. And you know, that's the Lord works that way in our lives. You know, sometimes our life, something will develop that just seems like it turns our life totally upside down. And we look at the problem and we wonder, Lord, what in the world is going on? What is the devil trying to do to me? Well, don't give all the credit to the devil. Because it's not always in the devil's power. Many times it is the Lord that turns our life upside down, that he may try our faith in order to strengthen our faith, to help us to overcome the greater issues of life that we're bound to face. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't think we've faced yet the greatest storms that are coming our way. Brother, as I look out on the horizon, I see a cloud, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the size of a man's hand either. I see storm clouds on the horizon for the people of God. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have to trust the Lord through these storms. Things don't look good for our country. But the world is in a total mess right now. It's in chaos right now. And I believe that man of sin is on the threshold of making his appearance, of revealing himself. Now, there's some clouds coming, some storms coming our way that we're going to have to be prepared for. And I'm telling you, the Lord knows exactly how to prepare each and every one of us that we need not fear when they come our way. These men had great fear. They ran to the Lord, said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" I mean, here's the Lord sleeping on a pillow in the ship. And they're worried, they're afraid they're going to perish. And the Lord's taking it right easy. I mean, he doesn't have a care in this world. Do you think that storm took him by surprise? No. It was designed by him. The fact that he went to sleep was designed by him. It was in his plan to do it that way. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. You believe whatever you want to believe." But I'm telling you that nothing has ever occurred to God, ladies and gentlemen, and that storm that came their way didn't occur to God either. When they got in the ship on this side of the lake, he knew very well before they reached the other side the storm was coming. In fact, he knew what he was going to do when he got to the other side. He saved the demon-possessed man, got back in the boat, went back across onto the other side. He fulfilled his mission and went back to the other side. But nothing's ever took him by surprise. And nothing will ever take him by surprise in your life as well either. Now I want to look primarily at three things this morning real quickly. And I'm going to be quick. I mean that. And I'm going to be slow and easy. Got to or I'll die. I don't want to die on you. But I want to look at the wind. I want to look at the waves. And then for just a few moments, I want to look at the wonder. Well, we see all three of them in this passage. The Bible said there in verse number 23, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake." They came down. Now, folks, the majority of times in the Word of God, when you see the word wind mentioned, it is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, the Lord told Nicodemus, said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." Said, "You hear the sound thereof, but," said, "you can't tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." And so the Holy Spirit is likened unto the wind that blows. And I will say to you, hey, he has come down on the water more times than once. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, it was the Spirit that came down upon the waters, upon the face of the deep. It was the Holy Spirit of God that came down at that particular time. And I want to read that, lest I get it messed up in my heart. It won't take me but a second to turn over there. If you'll hang right with me, I believe Genesis is in the Bible, isn't it, Josh? Amen. And in Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible says there, and I know it's there, what you get for breaking in a new Bible. The Bible said there in verse number 2, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And it was the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters that Almighty God used to bring, to create this world that we're living in. The Holy Spirit had His part in the creation of this world. But I'm going to tell you, I think of another time in John chapter number 5, and you don't have to turn there, but there was a pool called Bethesda. And when the waters were stirred, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when the waters were stirred, the first person that stepped inside that water was healed of whatsoever infirmity that they had. And here in our text, the Bible said, when that wind came down, that the waters came up and filled the boat that they were in. And so there in John chapter number 5, the Spirit of God had stirred the waters of the pool of Bethesda, that whosoever stepped in first was made whole. Now I want you to get a hold of what I'm telling you, what I'm getting ready to say. It takes the Holy Ghost of God to stir the waters of the Word of God in order for sinners to be saved. Now I'm telling you, we are missing that in our day. We are void of the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. The wind of God to blow upon the waters of His Word to regenerate the hearts of sinners that they might be saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I personally believe that it was the wind, the Spirit of God, that came down upon the water here. And it filled their boat. It filled that boat. And so He moved on the waters in creation. And He stirs the waters of salvation. But He also stirs the waters of preparation. Now, I'm about to get to where I want to try to get to. These were the Lord's disciples. He is preparing them for a ministry. And in order to do that, they're got to be some troublesome times in their life. Folks, I've said this so many times, I'm not ashamed to say it again, but I'm going to tell you something. The Christian life is not always going to be a bed of roses. I mean, there's going to be some paths we're going to have to go down that's not always an easy way. It's not always a smooth route, smooth sailing. There's some bumps in the road that we're going to travel down. But they're there by sovereign design that the Lord may prepare us for the job that He has ahead of us. Hey, some things in our Christian life, you're going to find out, some of you younger Christians are going to find out that there's some things in your Christian life down the road that are going to be very difficult for you to face as a child of God. I don't know how many people in here are my age or older. I could name some. I won't, Brother Robert. Brother Herford, you know, Leroy. But there are some men in here my age. And if they'd be honest with you like I'm getting ready to be, and I believe they would tell you in a minute that they're going through things in their older age that as a young person, I'm not even talking about a teenager now, I'm talking about 30, 35 years old, 40 years old. We're going through things in our life now that I never dreamed I'd have to go through. Amen. I mean, I am experiencing physical changes in my life. I was sitting in that green chair. That's got to be my favorite place. I was sitting there yesterday and I said, well, I'll just get up and go to the kitchen and get me another cup of coffee. And I went to get up and I thought, uh-oh. And I suddenly realized that it wasn't as easy as what it used to be just to be sitting in a chair and stand straight up. I started to stand up and I had to get that left hand on the arm of that chair and push myself up. And I realized that this old body just doesn't have the strength and the power and the energy that it used to have, ladies and gentlemen. And what I'm saying is there's going to be some things in your life that, hey, there's troubles coming and trials coming in your life that you never dreamed would ever be there, but they're there by sovereign sovereign design that God has already planned them out in your life by sovereign design, that He may create you in the image of Christ and prepare you for the job and the work and the labor that God has before you. And may I say, the hotter the fire, the greater the work. The deeper the trial, the greater the work. Now I'm going to say this, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But the greater the trial and the greater the problems you face, the more glory you're going to give to Jesus. Man, I'm getting ahead of myself. But these guys, hey, they wouldn't waste any time when that boat got full. They ran to the Lord and said, "Master, don't you care that we're about to perish? You're here sleeping on a pillow in the boat plumb full of water." Now somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, what's that got to do with it?" I tell you, the storm that they were in and the trouble that they faced, it didn't drive them away from God. It drove them to the Lord. Amen. It caused them to trust more in Him than they had ever done before. And I'm going to say, had they not trusted in Him, they'd have drowned, folks. Now, I'm going to say, there'll come times in your life spiritually, if you don't trust in the Lord, you'll drown spiritually. You better believe you will. Amen. You'll drown spiritually. Amen. If you don't trust in the Lord. Now there was some wind. Now, the wind's descent, it came down. Oh, we see the Spirit of God is always coming down. And then you see His description. The Bible said, as they sailed, He fell asleep, and over in the book of Mark, it says a great storm of wind. A great storm of wind. Oh my. Hey, now get a hold of this. We forget just how great the Spirit of God is. The wind took no credit for nothing. But I'm going to tell you what the wind did. The wind pointed these disciples to He that lay in the ship with them with His head on a pillow. That is the work of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? That is the work of the Spirit of God, is to point you to the Lord Jesus in your life. That's exactly what that wind did. And it came down, amen, that water filled the ship, and that wind pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And caused those disciples to flee to Him. May I say, if you're in a storm this morning, run to Jesus. That Bible said in Mark is a great storm. Friend, I'm telling you, I'm not a charismatic, but I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is a great God. Amen. Now somebody said, "You called Him God." He is God. Amen. We believe in one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And they're all three the same in attributes and power. And the Spirit was as much God as Jesus was God, as God in heaven the Father was God. Amen. Better believe He was. Oh, and He's great. He's great. He's marvelous. If I can put it this way, He's indescribably delicious. He's wonderful. Amen. Thank God for the work of the Holy Ghost. People have forgotten it is the Holy Ghost that works in our lives to convict us. It is the work of the Holy Ghost in our lives to convert us. It is the work of the Holy Ghost to comfort us. I'm telling you, hey, He's great, ladies and gentlemen. He's great. Hallelujah to God. You better believe He is. A great storm of wind. A great. Somebody said, "Well, that caused them big trouble." Oh, yes, but I'm going to tell you, right in the midst of all their trouble, they had a great God in the midst of it with them. I'm glad He rides through the storm with us. Hallelujah. Aren't you? You better believe it. He rides through the storm with us. So there's the wind. But now, the Bible said that the wind caused that boat to be full of water. To be full of water. Now, you don't have to agree with this. But I believe the water here is a type of the Word of God. I believe it is a type of the Word of God. They were filled. the Bible said, with water. Now somebody said, preacher, that caused him to get in some pretty deep trouble. Now will you just buckle it down just for a minute? If you ever get full of the Word of God, it may get you in a little bit of trouble too. Thank God for the Word of God that gives comfort to our soul. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God is not going to let you settle back on your leaves. If you're full of the Word of God, it's going to keep you troubled just a little bit. Amen. If it don't, there's something wrong with you. When I read the Word of God and it says, thou shalt not, 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 I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when that fills my soul, it troubles me a little bit. Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school this morning, when I look into the mirror and see myself, I don't see anything that looks too pretty. Amen. When the Spirit came down and filled them with water, I'm going to tell you, they looked in the mirror and saw what they were. They were weak and wearied and worried creatures. Did you get a hold of that? I'm telling you, hey, we bear the idea, we might as well say amen. We bear the idea that we can just about bear ourselves up under any load. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you better get a hold of something different than that. The Holy Ghost showed them what they were. Are you listening to me? Cowards. They ran to Jesus. That water caused them to realize that they had no power at all. Somebody said, well, I do, buddy. Oh, bless your little pea-picking heart.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you, the closer I get to God, the more I read that book, every time I read that book, it shows me just how weak I really am. Yeah, show me one man ever reached out by his bootstraps and lifted himself up and saved himself. I'll tell you what the psalmist said, no man can keep alive his own soul. We're weak.
Amen.
If it wasn't for God, it's like Brother Steve said this morning, as a leper, you would eventually rot away and sink down into the dust of the earth and be no more.
Amen.
And I'm glad, thank God, we serve a God that reached down into the dust of the earth.
Amen.
And created us out of the dust of the earth.
Amen.
Breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And we became a living soul, ladies and gentlemen. And then by His marvelous grace, He washed us in His own blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not just gave us life, but He gave us eternal and everlasting life.
Amen.
Not only gave us eternal life, but He gave us an abundant life. Thank God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. Thank God I'm living in the hour that I'm living in today. Somebody said, Jesus might come. I certainly hope so.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
When you like Him to come right now.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That water, that Holy Ghost, I don't know what it'll do. I'll just fill this boat up and see what these boys is made out of. You know what they sounded like to me? They sounded like Peter when he was walking on the water. He said, Lord, help, I'm sinking! They were sinking. Now I'm going to tell you, hey, without Jesus on board the ship, you will sink.
Yeah,
but that thing said it was full of water, and yet He was still asleep on a pillow.
Yeah.
Why didn't it wake Him up? I'm not trying to be a charismatic, but He is the Word of God. The water being the Word of God didn't trouble Him at all. They got along quite well together.
Amen.
Amen. That water and that boat, they got along quite well together. He wasn't a bit worried. Not at all.
Amen.
He felt right at home there. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God?
Amen.
Listen, hey, look here. The Word of God that filled the boat caused them to be fearful, but the living Word of God Amen. I better run my head through a wall. The living Word of God. He didn't cause them to be fearful, but He gave them hope. He gave them joy. He brought peace to their life. Amen. He calmed the waves and calmed the storm. And they marveled and said, what manner of man is this? I'll tell you what manner of man he is. He's God man. Hallelujah. Amen. His name is Jesus. Thank God. You better believe it is. He's God man. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. Amen. They were all filled. And then I've already mentioned this, but they feared that water in verse 24. They said, Master, we perish. And there are times that the trying of our faith by the Word of God can strike fear in our heart, that it will drive us to Jesus. It will drive us to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice something. And I want to say this, lest some of you get the wrong idea. Okay? The Bible said that Jesus, when they awoke Him, He rebuked the wind and the waves. Now, some would say, preacher, the way you're looking at that and preaching that, what you're saying is that He rebuked the Holy Spirit. He rebuked the Word of God. No, not if you look at it in its context and the reality of it. And get a hold of the word rebuke. The word rebuke don't always mean you look at somebody and say, shut up! That's not always what the word rebuke means. Can somebody in here tell me what the word censor means? Huh? Limit. Or even in some cases, years ago when he used to say, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of this movie has been censored. You know what? It's gone. It's just not there no more. That's what the word rebuke here is getting at. When he rebuked it, they just weren't there anymore. He had the power to bring them on.
Yes, sir.
And do what He wanted them to do, and He had the power to send them right away. They accomplished the work that God sent them forth to do, and they always will. Hey, get this. His word will never return unto Him void, but it will accomplish what He sends it forth to do. And the Holy Ghost sent forth the Word of God to drive those disciples to Christ. They increased their faith in Him, and it done that.
Yeah.
Don't you think when they got to the other side, they said, what manner of man is this? Boy, we're with somebody today. But if He can control the wind and the waves, I'm telling you, we have really got a friend with us today.
Amen.
I'm about to throw these thinking glasses out there. Now I tell you, you got a friend in Jesus, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Thank God you got a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother to you and me.
Amen.
You better believe that.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name. Amen. Now, listen carefully. They not only were filled with water, they not only feared, but they found peace. The Lord rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm.
Amen.
They found the peace they wanted. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll stay with Jesus in the storm, it may take a while. Your boat may get full. It didn't say it had a few drops of water in it. It was full. Your little boat might get full, but just don't worry. Jesus is in there with you. And I'm going to tell you, He'll bring a calm. And you know, here's a marvelous thing about it. It doesn't say anything about how they emptied the water out of there. Can I read between the lines? Bear with me, my folly. But that boat was full of water, and it don't say how any of it got out of there. I believe Jesus looked at that water and said, You've done your job. Get back over in the ocean. Go back to the sea, and it just leaped out of the boat like it leaped in, leaped over into the lake. And they went on across on the... How else did he get out of there? Yeah, it was full. I mean, it had to get out somewhere or the boat would have sank. He said, hop out. It said that he calmed the wind and the waves. You think they rode that ship the rest of the way full of water? I don't, not for one minute. In fact, I believe he blow-dried it. With the wind! Some of y'all look at me like I'm a nut. I am, but I'm screwed on a run bowl, neighbor. Hallelujah. I didn't get this out of somebody's commentary. I got this out of the Holy Ghost, friend. I got this from the Holy Ghost. Now, the wonder in verse 25. He said unto them, where is your faith? This is what I'm trying to get across. He is trying their faith and increasing their faith. They were going to the other side. But it wasn't the devil trying to sink that boat. It wasn't the devil trying to kill God. He couldn't kill him. And he knew, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you are going to complain about this. But he couldn't stop Jesus from saving that maniac either. This was all Jesus' plan.
Amen.
Now, the wonder. They said, what manner of man is this? Amen. Even the wind. Hey,
amen.
The wonder of his person. Have you ever thought about his person? Can I add three words to that word wonder? Full! F-U-L! Last time I looked at the word fool, you know what it means? Fool. That means he is wonderful. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. He's full of wonder.
Amen.
Praise God. In fact, his name is wonderful.
Amen.
His name shall be called Wonderful. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes, sir. That's his name. No wonder, he said. They wondered at him. His name is Wonderful.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about the wonder of his person? That he that knew no sin, holy and righteous, altogether the lovely one, with God from the very beginning, was God from the very beginning,
yes,
but took upon himself the form of a took upon himself flesh in the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
Have you ever really wondered about that man? How that he that was purer than the driven snow, and yet he was made to be sin.
Amen.
For you and I.
Amen.
Oh, I wonder at his person.
Yeah,
like Brother Steve said this morning, that old leper, nobody had anything to do with that old leper. But Jesus, for the first time, that man probably, since he had leprosy, was touched. Jesus reached out and touched him. He had never felt the touch from another human being before, but Jesus reached out and touched him. The wonder.
Amen.
The wonder of his touch.
Amen.
The wonder of his love. The wonder of his grace. The wonder of his mercy. They wondered at this man. What manner of man is this?
Amen.
And it's all through the Bible, and yet the New Testament, and yet the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't see it. They went back to their rulers and said, no man ever spake like this man. But when he talks, he's got something to say. He ain't like that blubbering hole down there at Island Ford Baptist. This man's got something to say, friend. And he has got something to say. He did have something to say, and he has got something to say, and he's still saying it today. People don't believe he's saying it.
Right.
Who's going to win the race? Oh, Obama or Romney, neither one. Jesus has already ran it and won it.
Amen.
He has already won the race, ladies and gentlemen. And He's told you and I to run the race that He has set before us. Looking unto Him. You can't run a race looking backwards. That means He's out yonder. That pillar of fire and that cloudy pillar. And you're running the race looking unto Him.
Amen.
Guess what? You know where He's at? You know why I'm about to go. Oh yeah. He's already crossed the finish line. Hallelujah. I know it's been all over everything. He's already crossed the finish line. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's entered in behind the veil. Thank God. That's right. And you and I have got an anchor behind the veil that's more steadfast than sure this morning. Yes. He's already finished His race and He's entered in behind the veil. You better believe it. The wonder of His person. Then the wonder of His plan. Why did He bring that wind down and fill that boat full of water? Just to teach them that little lesson of faith? I don't really have the answer to that. Because His ways are not our ways.
Amen.
They're much higher than ours.
Right.
Now, I don't understand why He used the waves of the lake and the wind from heaven. But He did.
Amen.
And if you read through the Bible, there's many times over that the Lord uses various things from nature to demonstrate His ability and power in salvation and in sanctification and in preparation and all other things pertaining to our life. I don't know why He did that, but He did. They wondered at that plan. Why did He fill it plumb full of water? Why did He make us so fearful? I've said sometimes He's got to make us fearful enough to flee to Him. I'm just telling you, folks, I've been through this for a long time. I've been preaching a long time, and I know me and I know people. But as long as people have got the idea they can make it themselves, they'll never turn to Christ. They realize, if you take this Kentucky brogue language, they knew without Jesus they were goners.
Amen.
And then the wonder of His power. He said, wind, be still. Waves, lay down. And if I look at that right, the Bible said, and there was a calm. Silence. I don't believe there was one ripple in the water. I don't even believe there was a ripple in it. I don't believe the wind was making a sound. He brought total peace and silence. And their hearts, their lives, and their faith in Jesus was strengthened because He used this simple little venture across the lake to teach His disciples what faith is all about and how they're to trust Him for the faith they need to fight the troubles and trials of this life that they're going to face. Let's stand together.